an RSN transmitter check across Shepparton and the Goulburn Valley on 1260 AM.
From Victoria's racing heartland, this is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day.
Hello and welcome to the Country Racing Show. Thanks for joining us once again as we count down to Christmas. It is a super busy time around the state of Victoria as far as country racing is concerned. Plenty of Christmas country race meetings in full swing. And last week we had a heap of country cups and some great meetings as well. We're going to look back on the week that was. We'll look forward to the week that will be. And we'll also spin a yarn as well. And we'll do it all with Darren Galley and Connor Ryan from Country Racing Victoria. Daz, how are you, mate?
Yeah, terrific. Thanks, Michael. Looking forward to a really busy weekend before we take a little break over Chrissy.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great period it is to be alive, Connor, as far as country racing is concerned. Everyone's in the festive spirit and the country meetings are just on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty of festive spirit at the country races at the moment. Every second race day is a Christmas party and all the locals are out there enjoying themselves, and plenty of Christmas parties across Melbourne this weekend as well, and looking forward to partaking in one or two myself. And Darren said, looking forward to a break across Christmas, but of course racing doesn't take a break.
No.
In fact, we go bananas over the Christmas break.
Flat out.
Especially in the country regions. It's a great time of year for all those country clubs too, because they can make a bit of money with these Christmas parties, and the picnic circuit's in full swing as well.
Yeah, particularly there's a couple of once-a-year races at Nil and Penshurst and Burrenbeat, those clubs around Boxing Day and New Year's Day. So big chance for them to make some, as I say, some good money, get some big crowds on course and have a great day of racing and also off-course activities.
Yeah, I had a chat to Brendan Kelly from Penshurst yesterday, and he sort of said that the day's a bit of a reunion day. You know, everyone comes home for Christmas to see the family and then get that out of the way and then go to the races the next day and actually have a bit of fun.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it serves a dual purpose.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the week that was with some big Country Cup meetings.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week That Was.
And we hark back to last Saturday. It was the Sportsbet Pakenham Cup Day, a standalone meeting for the club. Crowd figures were through the roof.
Yeah, great day for the club from an event perspective. They were up maybe 1,000 on last year, I think, and it was a beautiful day. They had great pre-sale, so they were expecting it, but you still got to get them through the gates on the day. So the people of the southeast of Melbourne are really getting behind that event. And look, it's a terrific facility down there. So if you're going to see any racing on the edge of Melbourne, it's a good place to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a tough day for the punters.
Not one favourite. The Cup going to like a carousel. Continue the trend of those horses that haven't won for quite some time. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about horses like Aeratus, Sontag, Real Finesse. Horses haven't won for 2+ years. And that just sort of capped off what's been a long, miserable summer spring for some of us trying to find a in the cups.
Well, he has been a bridesmaid, but it was a great training performance by Kenny Keys and a lovely ride by Linda Meach on Like a Carousel.
Down the outside, Like a Carousel, and then followed by Omido a couple of lengths away. Khartoum centre of the track, along with that Like a Carousel deep. It's Khartoum, Like a Carousel, having a crack. Like a Carousel could have got there in the final stride. It's an upset. Like a Carousel and Khartoum in a driving finish.
And it's not like the punters were even close with that one. I mean, it was Like a Carousel at $41 from by a nose from Khartoum at $31. And I think the other horse mentioned was Omito, and it wasn't in the betting either. So just nowhere near it on Saturday.
Yeah, a bit of a blowout for the punters there. But as we mentioned, it was a great effort by Linda Meach. The first time she'd sat on Like a Carousel, and she took out the Pakenham Cup.
Yeah, really weird, actually. Yeah, I was very confident. He travelled really well, and they went quite a good clip as well. So, you know, when you're travelling that well, and he just was travelling super nice, and yeah, I was quite confident a long way from home.
She's just such a star, especially on the country circuit. We know she's been the leading rider in Victoria for so long now, and the kilometres she covers, it's great to see her get a feature win.
Sure is, and she's actually taken a nice little lead in the country jockey premiership at the moment. I think she's at about a 6-win lead. A long way to go, of course, but last year, if you recall, she was nudging close to Dean Yendall coming to last month, and then copped a little suspension when he was out, but she's 10 wins ahead of him, and so actually Dean Yendall's maybe a bit off the pace this year. He's 10 wins off Linda Meach. Andrew Mean is in second place, 6 wins behind. Then they've got Mott and Dee bring up third and fourth. So hopefully Linda can keep it going.
See, the problem with Dean Yendall and also Linda is they don't work hard enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Just terrible. I mean, we spoke to, was it to Jess Eaton on the show, was living with Linda at the time. I don't think she'd seen her twice in the past 6 months. She's just on the go all the time and she doesn't stop working. And it's great to see her getting reward for that. I mean, I say that, she's been getting reward for it for years because she's been such a top-notch jockey. But nice to see her take out a nice $250,000 race in the Pakenham Cup.
Absolutely. A number of good races on the card. Master Reset won the $100,000 David Burke Memorial, which was a dominant win in the end.
It was. And again, nobody more surprised than perhaps the trainer, Matt Laurie, who did tell a guy I know who has a horse with him that it can't win. So I think after
that
the race...
It
does too. After the race, he was, I think, a bit surprised by the performance. But as you say, it kicked away and went nicely. You know, and that killed the quaddy from the first leg, being a $20-odd winner into Like a Carousel.
And a good horse too, Master Reset. Been a really strong Country Cups campaigner. I think a Wodonga Cup winner, won a rescheduled Cranbourne Cup, I think. But just out of form.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the trainer is doing all the right things at home. It's just the horse wasn't agreeable until he got to the races on Saturday.
And there was another shock because we had the Vobis Gold Bullion Race and Burning Front didn't win it.
True. Yeah, he would have won maybe 6 or 8 Vobis races over his career. But Amadeus, a nice horse, actually.
He's a good horse.
Got back to form as well. He's probably been out of form for the last few runs, but a nice win down the outside as well.
Burning Front is the king of the Vobis money munchers, though, isn't he? Just gone around and scooped up all that bonus cash. All the other breeders have been wondering what's the point, because he just seems to win it all.
Yeah, he is the ATM on legs at Burning Front. Also on Saturday, great day at Stall as well, and they had their Christmas races.
Yeah, nice race day out there at Stall. Obviously, sponsored by the Gift Hotel, which is a good sponsor of the race club, so I will give them a plug. And a nice double for local trainer Dane Smith on the day. And both of them ridden by Jared Fry. So good result for the locals, which we'd like to see.
And good to see that Benella got their meeting completed, which was postponed from the previous week.
Yeah, it made the right call, as we said this time last week, that they decided earlier in the week to delay the meeting and then got a full day of racing on Saturday. It was a good day. Doubles to Billy Egan and Lockie King, who's just knocked up riding winners.
He's flying, isn't he? Certainly takes after his old man, Lockie. And the Balnarian picnics were on, and the picnic season is just absolutely flying.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a doubleheader weekend for the picnics. So they're at Balnarian on Saturday and yay on Sunday. And Courtney Pace rode a double at Balnarian, and, you know, water is wet. The sky is blue.
Courtney wins.
Yeah, Courtney wins races.
The first ride challenge of the day, won by 8 lengths.
Oh, gee whiz. All right, just wherever you go, any picnic, just follow C Pace. On Sunday, it was the TAB Werribee Cup. This was a better meeting for punters. It was a favourites day, and it was, I suppose, probably an emotional win in the Cup. It was certainly a feel-good story, wasn't it?
It sure was, and as we touched on before, Erasers hadn't won up until just a few weeks ago, but that was a really strong win. Erasers won the Werribee Cup, didn't
it? Yes, it did.
Good. I thought so.
Let's remind you how he
Brigadier, did it. Air Raiders, and Articus challenging from Night's Watch 100 to go. Articus and Air Raiders from Brigadier. Articus and Air Raiders. All close. Very close. I fancy Air Raiders a nose to Articus, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if it went the other way.
And that's why Adam Crittenden's such a good caller. He nailed it on the line, and a great training performance by Kylie Vella, who we spoke to on Racing Pulse on Monday. Did you think he'd won on the line?
I was hoping. He thought he'd won, but we were screaming either way.
Now, I have to say that the Werribee Cup last year was won by High Church, who would go on to become the CRV Horse of the Year after winning a follow-up Warrnambool Cup, I think it was. And you might say that Aerators might be a chance to be in that market, in that final field, given it's...
Hang on, you boys organised the final
country
field,
Cup
you?
Form. Yeah, we've seen it. Well, it's won a couple of cups in a row.
It's
you
a bit
see
of
that?
Inside knowledge here.
And you just start to form an idea of what the field might look like. Wow. And Aerators could be among that field.
And I have a little soft spot for the Vella camp. Steve Vella rode my very ever first winner.
There you
going
go.
Back 20-odd years ago.
All right. The Rorts in. Kylie, Stephen, if you're listening, connections, make sure you keep the Country Racehorse of the Year awards free.
Just give us one more cup win and you should be a strong chance.
But speaking of Werribee Cup, it was just a tremendous day. I think Glenn Scott, after the races, were on the last and he said, you know, crowds were up, bookings were up, turnover was up. It's the biggest and best day they've had since they've reopened.
I'd like to see more races there, more feature days. It's a little bit lost, like, because it was such a good day. We could build it up a bit more, couldn't we?
Being so close to town, I think there was some discussion on social media between Bloods and some other people, Paul Bloodworth from Racing Victoria, around what else could it do to take on some of those metro days throughout the course of the year. But it does close for a fair chunk of the year based on the quarantine requirements. So, but say, it was a great result for the club to get back into the action and have a really big crowd and a great day of racing.
Yeah, and the race club does serve a terrific purpose for the industry in the spring carnival by acting as that quarantine base for the internationals, and they do a really good job of looking after those horses during the spring. So it's good to see them get some reward for that with a terrific cup day.
And a good day on Sunday as well at Tatura, because it was the Italian Plate Festival Day.
It was a Molto Bene race day for Tatura. I'll say, Darren. Yeah,
have
you like
got
that
any
one?
Any Italian days?
I can say Vera Patio.
That's a start.
That's the sponsors of the
Italian
Plate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Can you also say, did you see that?
Oh, I'd love that.
Did you see that?
Front runner Downhearted tries to kick on from Chippenham. Hussey's Glow and Vianden trying to get into the clear now. It's Vianden getting a run through. Down on the inside, Krusty. Oh, gee, I reckon Krusty down on the fence might have got right up on the inside and beaten Vianden and Chippenham. And Downhearted and Hussey's Glow, there's a head between five.
Gee whiz, what a tough finish to call.
Five horses, within a quarter of a length across the line. And again, young Lockie King somehow lifted Vianden across the line. It didn't look like he could have won. But as I said before, he's been flying, young Lockie. He's only rode his first winner just on a year ago and now have had 65 winners since. So it's a really good year.
That is phenomenal. And he did it for Osti Coffee and obviously his regular partner in crime has been having a bit of a tune-up in town. So we look forward to seeing him back in the saddle very, very soon as well. I hear everything's going well with Harry and we're hopeful of having a chat to him on Racing Pulse next week.
Terrific.
To visit us.
Hey, Harry was back in action at Morfordville on Saturday. I think he might have had one or two rides.
Back.
Scored a win, which was even better to see. And he's going to be partnering our favourite horse at the Valley on Friday night too. So we're looking forward to that.
And I believe that could be a big Friday night for one D Galley.
Yeah, the People's Champ, 465 Roses, will make her city debut after winning at Witchy Proof and then Swan Hill. So looking forward to seeing how she goes at Moody Valley on Friday with young Harry back on board.
We'll have a little chat about that with the road ahead, and I want you to give us a sneak preview of your acceptance speech as well with the trophy there, because you're confident from what I hear. Talk about the doubleheader at Yay with the picnics Saturday, Sunday. Interesting race at Yay on Sunday.
Yeah, the Sister Olive Handicap is one of the more distinct races on the picnic circuit. It's the longest race that they do. It's a 3,000-metre staying test, and look, Yay's always a great day out. But it's always nice to see something a bit different on the card. And the Sister Olive went to It Could Be You for Gordon Strang and ridden by Danny Walker. So good result for them and a couple of interesting winners up and down the card as well.
And Shane Fleener, first picnic winner.
Yeah, I think Toby Lake, who does a bit of work for Shane, convinced him to take the horse there. It was first up after about a year from injury and duly saluted. And the good part about that story as well was that the race caller, Ben Spool, caller, actually has a small share in that horse. Yet all the way through the run, you couldn't have told her until she hit the line. And Ben got very, very excited, but still never gave up the fact that he had a little interest in the horse.
Oh, I love it. Very good. Very good. That was Yay on Sunday. On Monday, headed to Bairnsdale, and Shay Eden Stable's going very well. It was a nice winner there, and I think it was well-backed as well.
Yeah, it was. It came in pretty short. And obviously, Shay's had a good good partnership with Nikita Berryman as well. They've scored plenty of winners over the last last few months. So it was good to see them with another one and a nice-looking type in Cavalera.
And also, we talked to Shay just a few weeks ago. He mentioned that Dale Short was his now sort of assistant trainer or foreman, and Dale's horse won on the same day in the third race. So they've had a really good start to the day with Shay and then Dale's own horse, Moonlight Ruby, winning.
Absolutely brilliant. And on Tuesday, down at the Bull, great to see the racing down at the Bull. A lot of emphasis and a lot of pre-race talk about Brazen Bow's brother going around in race number one. Just wasn't good enough in the end.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be quite up to Brazen Bow's standard, but it's still interesting to see how these shake down. Obviously, breeding can be a bit of a lottery, and sometimes they turn out champions and sometimes they're no good. And Herminato looks like he might have a win in him, but it might take a few more goes yet.
Well, that was the week that was. Time now to spin a yarn.
From Victoria's racing heartland, the Country Racing Show.
An RSN transmitter check. In Bendigo and Central Victoria on 945 AM.
The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
It's one of our favourite segments when we spin a yarn and find out the inner workings of all of the participants here in this great state of ours. And we spoke about this man last week, guys, and I speak of Brad Cole because he's been through a very tough 2017, but on Sunday at Yay, things took a turn for the better when he managed to get a winner. And it's great to have a chat to Brad Cole, who joins us. How are you, Brad?
I'm pretty good now, yeah, with a winner. It always picks up a little bit.
No doubt about that. Darren Galley and Connor Ryan are here, and we were talking about you last week, and we were having a bit of a giggle saying that only the husbands out there would know that when you have a cold that turns into pneumonia that puts you into a coma for a number of weeks, and your wife is saying, man up, it's just a bit of man flu, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, she was ribbing me there for a while. It was worse than that.
So, Brad, Darren Galley here, mate. Welcome back to training. How did that man cold turn into such a nasty illness?
Look, I've got no idea. I'm generally a fairly healthy sort of bloke. I've got a full-time job as well and juggle with training race horses. And I'm well known down the Bendigo track for being fairly active and fairly fit sort of thing. And, look, just got the better of me. I come home from a holiday from Darwin and thought I had a bit of the flu. Went to a function with my wife on the weekend at Brighton, fell down with what I thought was the flu, but obviously got me into the Alfred Hospital with influenza A.
Well, it's quite remarkable, Brad, to think that what you thought was a cold soon had you in an induced coma for a couple of weeks, but I imagine it must have been pretty tough on your wife. I mean, you were doing the hard yards physically, but, I mean, you're for all intents and purposes, you didn't know a thing about it.
Yeah, very true. I was asleep, basically. She always says that you're having that sleep sort of thing. And I knew nothing about it, to be totally honest. Last I heard, I was at Wangaratta and they were telling me they were sending me to Melbourne and basically woke up nearly virtually 3 weeks later. So it was my wife and kids that were having the hard time about it, watching me and weren't getting good news from the doctors. But I was lucky enough to push through.
Well, Brad, we have a bit of a laugh about it, but it was extremely serious. At one stage, did they say to your wife that we're not sure he'll pull through?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they said it was 50-50, and it was a bit scary for them for a little while.
Any long-term ill effects as a result of that, Brad?
It doesn't seem to be at this stage. You've got a little bit of arthritis in one hand, but other than that, which has flared up since the illness, but pretty much back to normal, really. I'm going back to work on Monday, so fingers crossed I cope with putting that into my list of things to do and cope with it. With the racehorse train.
Well, it's been a remarkable recovery because you did, though, have to relearn how to walk, how to feed, and all of the things that you take for granted.
Pretty much, yeah. Look, I had a few falls. Apparently, I can't remember them, but they put me. I had some scans and so forth, and a bit of bruising on the brain. I just wanted to get up and go, which is normally my life. I'm always on the go and doing something, and I didn't want to stay still. It was probably a really bad patient for the nurses, but it was tough.
Well, from the sands of things, the fact that you've been active and led a busy lifestyle might have been the difference. But, I mean, talking about your career as a whole, how do you juggle a full-time job and training horses? I mean, surely one or the other is enough to keep a man occupied.
It's a lot of work. I try to keep it down to a controllable number of about five or six. It's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. But I find with a job, it's training's a really hard lifestyle, which you would have picked up over the time, speaking to a lot of trainers, and I find the full-time job just gives me that bit of family balance and peace of mind sort of thing. So I like to juggle the both and try to enjoy me racing without making it too much of a chore.
Well, days like Sunday make it all worthwhile because you had your first winner back since the shocking illness, and it was Kingulator at Yay.
Becca Rickley's in front. Betty's thrills. I said it couldn't win. It might. Yeah, Kingulator is there. Kingulator outside. He's going to beat them all. Kingulator, good on you, Brad. Kingulator goes on and wins it.
Yeah, I think that sentiment was echoed by everyone. Can you describe what it was like when he hit the line in front?
Look, it was a real thrill. You know, we had a lot. My wife was over there, and obviously Craig Kirkpatrick, who rode the horse in that race, is a big part of my training. He helps me a lot, and his family was over there, and we're all thrilled to bits, really.
What size stable do you try and keep juggling the say the full time work and the training operation?
Oh, look, I try to have five or six with a couple of young ones coming through, sort of thing, and that's keeps me pretty occupied, really.
And you got one coming up this weekend at Horsham, Nicarlo. Last start, which I think was under Eileen Vanderveen while you were recovering, was a length off for 65 Roses at Mount Witchy Proof. So she's gone on to win at Swan Hill. So could we see maybe Nicarlo...
Good form line.
Yeah, good form line. Could we expect things from Nicarlo at Horsham on Sunday?
Yeah, look, he's a nice little horse. I actually bought him in New South Wales just before I fell ill. And... got him going and trailed up nice, and I was really pleased with him. He's quite a well-bred horse. He's out of the half-sister to Northerly. And we thought he might develop into a stayer down the track. So we bought him online and got him down, and we're really happy with his progress. Obviously, Aileen got to race him, and he's showing a little bit of ability. And actually, the other day at Witchy Proof, he got back to last, and weaved, it was only a small field, but weaved his way through the field and set out to pick up Ostie's horse, but couldn't quite get there. But they're a long way in front of the third horse. So, drawn bad at Horsham. He's got a little bit of early speed, so he should come across from the wide gate. Yeah, look, I give him some sort of chance. He's a nice little horse.
All right, well, we'll be looking at that on Sunday at Horsham. You mentioned you're back at work as well on Monday, and you've been working at Simmons Dairy. How long have you been there for?
24 years
wow.
now. So, yeah, old George Simons, who was quite a good trainer, asked me to work for him one day, and I've been there ever since and totally enjoyed. I'm driving around Bendigo, keeping all the coffee shops and convenience stores happy with their milk and quite well known around Bendigo, and juggle with my lifestyle with family and horses and quite enjoy it.
And how did you get started in the actual horse training game?
When I was a young bloke, my father was a mad punter, and he was a life member of Wood End, and he used to always take me to the race, and I just loved it from day one, basically. And I always told my father that I'd be a horse trainer, which I lost him at a very young age, but just continued on that passion. I left school very early on in life and went and worked for Ray Hutchins, terrific of gala supreme fame, obviously winning the Melbourne Cup. But I worked in the late 70s, 80s with Ray Hutchins, and he was just a magnificent conditioner of a horse. From there, I went to Jim Maloney, who... You know, he's probably the best trainer I've ever seen, Jim. He's a magnificent trainer. John Maloney, his son, was the foreman there with Jared. And obviously, Danny O'Sullivan and Glenn Thornton and a few other trainers that train around Victoria. We were all there at the same time. So, good nursery of trainers. And basically, just loved it from day one and always wanted to be a trainer. And here I am today, still training a few and enjoying it.
Well, it's a great story, Brad. And we are so happy to see you back up fighting fit and training winners as well. And fingers crossed it can continue this weekend.
We'll be doing our best.
Good on you, Brad. Good luck for Christmas and the new year. I'm sure 2018 will be a lot better and hopefully thanks. Plenty more winners around the corner.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
I'm on the road again. It's where I want to be.
Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on The Road Ahead.
Time to look ahead, and it is all about Christmas hats, red and white. For you, Dazza, it'll be under the mistletoe because it's a big week of Christmas race meetings.
I've got a hat with a mistletoe on top.
Any luck?
No.
Wonder why.
Where do we start things, Connor?
Well, we start with a Friday twilight meeting at Moe, just part of their Christmas Christmas fun out there. And then Saturday, there's Christmas meetings pretty much all over the place. Mm. We're out...
big day south, Saturday.
Southwest at Colac. We're northeast at Wangaratta. We're southeast of Melbourne at Cranbourne. And then just east of Melbourne at the Hillsville Picnics. So no excuses, does it?
No, very true. Then Sunday, we move on to the Pitocchi Christmas Party race day at Bendigo. Now, must make sure that you note that with the, yes, the proposed the forecast of heat, Bendigo will kick off first race at 11:45, so they'll be done by 3:40 in the
it's
afternoon.
It's a good result for the locals.
It's a good result. I didn't realise it would be so hot, but I think that's the plan. And then also Horsham also to be hot, so they've come forward to 11:58 race one with the last race at 3:20. So both the races will be done early in the day. Monday, which was going to be Echuca, again, forecast of 40-plus degrees, so that day has now been moved to Wednesday. So Echuca Monday will now be on Wednesday, December 20.
Day off. Great result for the racing industry.
Very good. Yeah. Monday off. That's nice. I might take off myself. Tuesday, we're at Kilmore, and then I say now Wednesday at Echuca, and then Thursday, we round out the rest of this week with Seymour.
All right. Big Christmas week of racing, and you know what we need around this time?
Yep.
We need winners. Let's find out if we've got some.
Panning for punting gold this weekend. The Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
Now, just remind me, boys, how did we go last week?
Yeah, really good. Very, very good.
Really?
Winners all round.
Yeah. Good, but a little unlucky.
So, more specific?
I think I tipped Air Raiders in one of my secondary tips.
But, did you? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did that one go to air?
No, I think no. Phil, our producer, may have cut it. Hang on.
There may have been some issues in post-production, Darren.
Yes, that's right. That's disappointing for the listeners out there. What can you do this week?
Well, I've done copious amounts of form. So I'm going to Sunday, Bendigo, race 5, number 4, pray for us.
That's a very good bet.
That's all I need to say.
Omen.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. Okay.
Pray for our tips.
What about yourself, Connor?
Yeah, I'm going to go the sentimental one. I'm at the Valley.
Yes.
Race 6, number 9. 465 Roses, racing for a great cause. 4 Team Coffee. Harry's back in the saddle. We just want to see her do well. She's come to town for the first time. She's won 2 races on the trot. Let's go for the hat trick.
Oh, I like it. And you've written an acceptance speech. You're the man to collect the trophy.
Yes, I'm going to say she went good. And I'm very appreciative of the win. And all funds from us will go towards cystic fibrosis community care for a very important cause.
And brilliant. That's going to really help the subtitlers when they're trying to decipher what Darren's saying.
Yes, because you've got a boozy lunch today, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, your wife didn't know. Sorry. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Enjoy the build-up to Christmas. We'll be back for a special Christmas edition next week.
This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. The Country Racing Show. It's got it all.